We have here Paul's Guide to Prayer. We all know that we should pray, and I hope we all do pray. But how can we pray better? How can we pray according to the Bible? Prayer should not be like Nyama Choma, that it comes sometimes on a special day, but it should be more like the beans or the ugali, that we're having it again and again and again. And we should always be struggling to improve, to learn more, to be able to pray better. Now the first teaching from these verses, so we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 18 to 20. The first teaching is about when to pray. And we're taught to pray at all times. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. The Bible teaches us that we have a terrible enemy. We've read in these verses, verse 11, that we need to take our stand against the devil's schemes. We're not warring against flesh and blood, verse 12, but against powers, rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces in heavenly places. They are high, powerful and mighty forces. So Paul says we're in a warfare and we need armour, and we need to be protected. It's not a quick battle. It won't be won just with one stroke. But the spiritual battle is continuing and going on continually. It's gone on for thousands of years already since the Lord Jesus Christ rose. 2,000 years have gone. And you're not in heaven yet, and I'm not in heaven yet. And so we need to pray, because the enemy is still fighting. We're not yet with Jesus. We haven't yet seen his face. So we need to keep praying. So we mustn't just pray when we feel the need. We mustn't just pray when we feel some special danger or when some big problem comes. In verse 11, talks about the devil's schemes. He's making plans. He's plotting. When you're making a plan, when you're making a scheme, you don't go and tell the person, do you? Satan is cunning. He won't tell you where the trap is. He won't tell you how he's going to catch you. So you need to be praying continually. One of the devil's goals is to take your eyes away from the unseen world. To take your eyes off the spiritual things. Make you just think of what you can see, what you can touch, what you can taste. But we must pray always, because the spiritual battle is always going on. If you forget your enemy, then he's almost won already. If you forget the spiritual armor and preparations you need to make. We need to pray always, because we're always in God's world and we're always in need of his help. We can't think that Sunday is God's day and then, oh, the rest of the week, oh, that's just for me and I'm in control. We cannot think that, oh, here is sacred time, but tomorrow when I'm at work, well, that's just ordinary. No, God has made all of life. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and we must depend upon him always. Now, when it says that we must be praying always, it doesn't actually teach that long prayers have some special value. The Bible doesn't say that we can force God's arm by just making our prayers longer and longer. We can't manipulate God. And that was the way that the pagans were thinking. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't pray like the pagans. They think God will hear them because of their many words. Don't think just because the clock is going round and round, but now you've forced God. But what it means is it must be a continual part of life. It means that every situation is being prayed for, every part of our life, every place we go into, that it has been prayed for. It means that prayer is something natural to us. Each day we get up, we wash, we wake. We We go on journeys, we leave our homes. It should all be prayed for. And we can be bringing our minds up to God, and bringing our hearts up to God in all those things. Remember, Daniel was the prime minister in Babylon. He was a very important man, and so surely he was a very busy man. Yet the Bible tells us he prayed 3 times a day. 3 times he went to his room, he opened the windows to remember Jerusalem, the city that God had chosen, and he prayed. Now, if he's the prime minister, and he's the prime minister of Babylon, a huge empire, then can you say, but me, I have no time to pray. You know, me, I'm doing too much, and I'm too busy to pray. A prayer should be just part of our life. It's woven in the whole way along. What to pray? Now, this is the second thing. What should we pray? Verse 18 again. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. The Bible, in a different translation, uses the word supplications, but it means requests, and that's what we've got in this translation. Asking. But that's just one kind, and it says all kinds. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, wrote in a similar way, and there he said, with thanksgiving. Being thankful. All kinds of prayers. Think of the Lord's Prayer. It begins with worship. Begins with praise to the great name of God. Begins with prayer for God to be obeyed and his kingdom to come in the world. And it includes our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. There's confession of sin. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Praise for guidance. Guide me, Lord. Lead me not into temptation. Praise for God to protect us. Deliver us from evil. All kinds of prayer for all parts of life. In the book of Psalms, we see David praying. Other psalmists too, but there's all kinds of prayer. There's prayer when he's full of thanks. Prayer when he sees the greatness of God and wants to give him glory. There's prayer when he's low and when he's troubled. There's prayer when he's fallen into sin and he's confessing. Earlier we looked at his prayer of repentance. Think of Nehemiah. He was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. And the king asked him a question, and he prayed just silently, quickly, before he answered the king. But all kinds of prayer, short prayers, long prayers, prayers for small things, prayers for great things. And the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So everything should be prayed for. Jesus, we're told one time, he got up very early, he went out and he prayed. Told another time that he was breaking bread, or he was giving food, and he prayed. He even prayed on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He prayed even for his enemies, even as he was dying. All times are good for prayer. Are you following the Bible's teaching? Are there parts of your life you just think, well, I'll be okay in that part. I'll just take care of that part myself. Or I don't need to bring that to God. I have the strength. I have the power. And often you find it wasn't true. But are you learning? Are you praying? All kinds of prayers for all parts of life. If we look at your prayers, what will we say the great battle is? Who is the great enemy? Are you fighting Satan in every part of life? Well, who to pray for? We said when to pray, what to pray, but who to pray for? And Paul gives us this also. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, requests. And then he says, with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, the Bible does tell us to pray for everyone. But here, Paul says, especially keep on praying for all the saints. Now, who are the saints? The word saint means a holy one, somebody who is special. When the Bible says saints, it actually means all of God's people. That is, every believer. If you go to the start of this letter, the letter to the Ephesians, there in verse 1, says Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful or believers in Christ Jesus. Every believer is a special one to God. Every believer, he has given them to Jesus Christ. He has set them apart from the world. He sent his Son into the world to die for them, to take away their sins, to make them his holy people, that they should become his family. This does not belong to everyone, but it belongs to those who believe. It doesn't just belong to some believers. It's not just pastors that Jesus died for. It's not just missionaries who he loves, but all of them with the same love in Christ. Now, the teaching of Roman Catholic Church is that to be a saint, well, first you have to be dead. You've had to have lived a very amazing life. And you had to have done some miracles too. And some years later, they'll make you a saint. And they actually tell us to pray, not for those people, but they tell us to pray to those people. But that's not the teaching of Paul at all. We've seen that he said all those who are in Christ are saints. And he's writing to people who are alive. And he's telling us to pray for people who are alive. You can't pray for people, for someone who's dead, because their time is done and God's decision about their life, he's made it already. And you certainly can't pray to them, because they can't hear you. They take no more part in this life. Their involvement in this world is over. But we pray to God for the living believers. Isn't it wonderful that every believer, God calls them a saint? They might be poor. The world might know nothing about them. They might be small and weak. But God calls them his holy ones, and he set them apart from the world of himself. And we should pray for all of them. Don't just pray for the believers you like. Don't just pray for the believers who are like you in your situation, or who are your close friends. Remember, Christ died for all kinds of people. All believers. The easy ones and the difficult ones. The talented ones and the slow ones. The easy to get on with ones and the awkward ones. But we're all one family together, and God gave Christ to the cross for each one of them. And the Spirit is living inside each one of them. They're all our family, and we must pray for them all. Is that what you do? Do you try and remember each of the brothers and sisters in the church? Remember what their needs are today, and make mention of them in your prayers. We're a small church, so I'm sure we can do that. We don't need a list of 200 people to pray for each other with our needs today. Again, it doesn't have to be long and complicated and clever, but we can just pray for each other. But Paul mentioned someone in particular to pray for. That was in verse 19 to 20. He said, "Pray for me." He said, "Whenever I open my mouth, that words may be given to me, so I'll fearlessly, boldly make known the mystery of the gospel." And in verse 20, "that I may declare it fearlessly or boldly, as I should." Paul was a gospel preacher. He was an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is. He speaks for the king. He comes with a message for the king. Now, this is the king's world, but it's full of the king's enemies. And Satan is active and powerful. And people are the slaves of Satan. And they don't want to listen to the message of the king. And they make it hard. And so Paul here, he says, "I'm in chains. I'm a prisoner for the sake of Christ. I've even been sent to jail. But I must keep on being his ambassador. I must keep on opening my mouth to preach the gospel." In Colossians, he asked for opportunity. So he wants to have the times when there are people to hear and listen, and then he'll speak to them boldly. Nobody can be saved without hearing the gospel. Nobody is saved just because they're trying to be a good person, or because they're doing some worship of God by their own ideas. He calls the gospel a mystery, verse 19. In the New Testament, a mystery means something you can't know until it is revealed to you. Something that's hidden until it's revealed. Sometimes we use the word mystery and we mean, I just don't understand it. You know, it's too deep for me. But that's not the meaning here. The meaning is a great matter that was hidden but is now revealed. And it's revealed when the gospel is preached. But it's preached by ambassadors, by heralds, by the gospel preachers like Paul. And they need your prayer because it's not easy. They're on the front line of the battle. The fighting is fiercest, where they're taking the gospel to those who haven't yet believed. The gospel goes forward via preaching. So you need to pray for preachers. If you were in the church of Ephesus, you shouldn't think, oh, well, Paul's an apostle. He's so holy. He's so gifted. He's done so much. Well, he can take care of himself. Let me just pray for other people. No, actually, your leaders, they need special prayer. They need more prayer. It's so important that they remain faithful. And Satan is so happy to bring down a leader. If he spoils a leader, then the whole church will suffer. Isn't that true? So they need special prayer from you. And don't say, why will God listen to me? I'm nobody important. Remember what we've just learned. If Christ died for you, what more could God do? How more could God show you that he's willing to hear your prayers if he even gave your son, his son, for you? Do you pray for the preachers of the gospel? But how to pray? This is our next point. We said when and what and who. Now how to pray? The first part in verse 18, he says, with watchfulness, as we have it here, with this in mind, be alert. Keep on being alert. One of the jobs in Kenya that they always need people for is the askari, the watchman. You need somebody to watch the feast. He's not going to tell you. You won't get a letter. He says, I'm going to come tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. So you can be ready tomorrow at 10 o'clock. No, but you need the watchman to keep watching day after day after day. He said, the devil is cunning, has plans and schemes. So you need to keep watching. You're growing some food in your shamba. The weeds will come up very quickly unless you watch for them. Spiritual dangers, they grow quietly, but they grow quickly. When you say to your brother or sister, I'll pray for you, make sure you're serious, make sure you do pray for them. Because he says, be alert, keep on praying for all the saints. Have to continue, persevere in this. You can't just have your askari for one night. If he's watching over the city gates, over the city walls, he has to do it night after night after night. Because the night when he's asleep, or the night when he just goes home to bed, maybe the night when the enemy comes, he can't just watch once. How does a Christian backslide? Normally it doesn't just happen one day. It can happen that you just fall into a sin that you're really surprised by. But normally a Christian backslide little by little by little. He doesn't watch as much today as yesterday. Tomorrow he doesn't watch as much as today. Little by little he falls away. Sunday becomes less special. The church meetings become less important. He reads his Bible just a little less. And he misses it out a little more. He prays a little less. And he goes to other things a little more. Before you know it, it's like he's back in the world completely. Pray for all the saints. Watch him. Watch your brothers and sisters. Their needs, their dangers, their problems. Watch in prayer for them. What are your prayers like? You just go for a routine? Or are you alert? Are you awake? Are you ready for the danger? Second thing, how to pray. And this is the final point. Paul says, pray in the Spirit, verse 18. Or we could translate it, pray by the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean being loud. That doesn't mean there's a lot of shouting. I know that as I listen to the radio, I'm listening preachers and I'm listening people pray, they really seem to believe the more noise you make and the more you lose control, the more it's the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God is a spirit of self-control. He's the spirit of order. He's not the spirit of losing control. It doesn't mean that. That's a pagan idea. That's a corruption that has come into the Christian faith. And we want to drive it out again. But by the Spirit of God means, well, one thing it means is to seek the things he desires. Pray according to the mind of the Spirit. He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and so he's concerned with the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will send him, and all the things which are mine he will show to you. He will lead you into all truth. Jesus sent him for that purpose. And as Paul then is saying, pray for me, I'm an ambassador for the gospel. He's thinking of the kingdom of Christ going forward and the glory of the Saviour. Seek first the kingdom. If we pray by the Spirit, then we'll pray in faith. We'll rely on God's promises. That the things God has said he will do for us in the Bible, we will rely on those promises. Every challenge to our spiritual life can be removed. He said he removes mountains, and so we can rely on that. If he said he wants the church to grow and the gospel to go forward, we can rely on that. If he said that he wants our families to be godly places, and then we can overcome the challenges and we can believe that he'll find the way forward. Now, praying by the Spirit also means praying with his strength and with his help. It's not easy to pray, is it? Especially if you're tired, if you've had a difficult day, if work's been hard, or if the children have been very noisy and it's been very difficult, then you don't feel like praying because you're tired. But believe that the Spirit will give you help. Start praying and trust him to help you to carry on till the things that you need to pray for have been prayed for. He does give strength. Every journey begins with the first step. I like running. And often I find in the first mile, my legs are heavy and they're tired. But once we get going, once the blood is moving, it gets better. Well, it's like that just in the body, but it's like that with the Spirit of God. He gives you strength you never knew you had. You say you can't pray, but you can pray because you can pray by the Spirit. And then we need to pray. It's a war. The war will be won when we rest in heaven with Christ, when we see him face to face. It'll be finally won when he returns and every enemy has been crushed forever. But until then, we need to take up the weapon one more time, take it up again today, and do the same tomorrow. Believe. Pray for all the believers. Pray by the Spirit. Pray for the going forward of the gospel. Pray by the help that the Spirit of God gives you. And soon the victory will be ours.